Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll start there, but we'll be other places. So find Deuteronomy 7. And Faith has our song tonight. We'll enjoy that and jump right in on the subject of faithfulness again. Deuteronomy 7. All right.
One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captives free. Their hearts were sad as in the tomb they laid him. For death had come and taken him away. Their night was dark and bitter tears were falling. Then Jesus came and night was turned to day. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Thank you, Faith. That was good. I enjoyed that. Good song. Tonight, we're going to be continuing on the subject of faithfulness, the virtues of faithfulness. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Thank you for the good song, dear Father, that reminds us about how much Jesus changes a life. Thank you for the joy that comes from being saved. Thank you for the joy that comes from serving a faithful God. And I want to talk about that tonight. May it be a blessing to people as we get into your word, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Faithfulness is a virtue that is exemplary among Christian people. And we talked about that last week a little bit. People make comments and statements about a faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful young person. And that's always a positive thing. I reminded you, or I told you last week, Webster's first definition of faithfulness is firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Once again, now there's many definitions listed, but this is his first one listed. Faithfulness is firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. So I said last week, faithfulness is not only the adherence to truth mentally, believing the truth, but it is also faithfulness is the firm adherence to the application of that truth in our lives. So faithfulness involves not only belief, but it involves behavior, okay? Both what you believe and how you behave or how you live. Now, the pursuit of faithfulness is commendable for several reasons. I talked about those last week. I'm not going to repeat those, but the one I want to talk about tonight, the main reason that it is commendable for you and me to pursue faithfulness is that faithfulness is a characteristic of the Godhead. We talked about in here in our text in verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. Here Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. You know the setting here. Getting them ready to go into the land of Canaan. And he says in verse 7, "The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people." The numbers were small. "But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so forth, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord, the God, Lord thy God, He is God." And then it says this, "the faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercy with Him, with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations." Now, what you notice, He's called the faithful God. But Moses called Him the faithful God. He is firm in adherence to the truth. Truth is what God is. So God is faithful to Himself. He is firm in adherence to truth, to what He is. And He does not vary from what He is. What He is now is what He has been from eternity past. What He is now is what He will be in eternity future, because He is the faithful God. He is firm in adherence to truth. He's the faithful God. Now, I want to say tonight, and I may continue this next week, but I want to give you, if time permitting, I want to give you three areas where God is faithful, okay? Because we're talking about the virtues of faithfulness. We're talking about God's character. Now, first of all, I want to say this tonight. God is faithful when it comes to salvation. He's faithful when it comes to salvation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to use our Bible a little bit. We'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians for a little bit and other places as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 1 and verse number 7. I don't know if I've said chapter 7, but I should have said chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and find verse number 7. God is faithful when it comes to salvation. Remember now, firm in adherence to the truth. And the Bible's going to teach us here in 1 Corinthians 1 that God is faithful when it comes to salvation. Look at verse 7. "So that ye come behind," he's writing to the Corinthian people here. Let me just give you a little, you know, at the very beginning of the chapter, he gives a normal greeting to the saints who are at the church in Corinth. He tells them he's thankful for the grace of God which has come to them by Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 4. "I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." That's the only way God's grace can come to anybody, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He's thankful for that. And then in verse number 5, he mentions that, they're enriched by Christ. And he says in 6, "even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." Now look at verse 7. "So that ye come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's talking about the coming of Christ here. "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, in this passage, these verses, Paul says in verse 8 that God will confirm these saved people in Corinth unto the end. And God will do this so that they might be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, what God does for the church at Corinth, God does for me and you today. And God is going to preserve us blameless. Our salvation is full and complete in Jesus Christ. And God is going to confirm that until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, what's that talking about? Well, you can take that to mean the rapture, or you can take that to mean the final return of Christ, or you can take that to mean the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to debate that or even get into that tonight with us. Whichever one you think it might be, just make your pick there. Regardless which one it is, the rapture, the return, or the judgment seat, regardless, the God that saved you is the God that will keep you saved. And God will do that because God is faithful. He's faithful. Now, I have not had, I thank God for this, I have not had much of a problem doubting my salvation over the years. I don't look down or think poorly on people who do doubt their salvation. I think some People are given to doubt just in their temperament, just in their personality. They don't only doubt their salvation, they doubt a lot of things in life because they're given to a doubt. Maybe there are other people who have battles with doubt. And I know some fine Christian people who've had a difficult time, with doubt about their salvation from time to time after being saved. Now, I haven't had that much of a trouble. I'm not patting myself on the back or setting myself up as some kind of example. I'm thankful for it. One of the reasons is because I do believe this to be true about God. I believe God is faithful to Himself. And He is faithful to His promise to not only save us, but to keep us saved. Because our salvation is full and complete. Now, you know, the thing I think that's difficult sometimes for me to wrap my mind around is, you know, for people to have no doubt about the fact that they've asked the Lord to save them, but then doubt whether or not God would keep them saved. I don't quite, that doesn't come clear to me, but I know that happens sometimes. Now, here's a question. Could you save yourself? No doubt the answer to that is no, you could not save yourself. All right? Well, hear this. It is as impossible for you to keep yourself saved as it is impossible for you to save yourself. It's impossible. Okay? So question number two. Could God save you? Now, you could not save yourself, but could God save you? I believe the answer would be yes. Well, hear this. It is just as possible for God to keep you saved as it is possible for God to save you. Because God's faithful. He's faithful to Himself. It just simply does not make any common sense, much less biblical sense, to believe that we cannot save ourselves, but we must keep ourselves saved after God saves us. That doesn't make any sense, folks. We can't save ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves saved. God saves us, and God keeps us saved, and I'm thankful that He's faithful to both of those things. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse number 23. Look at these verses again. This reemphasizes the same characteristic about God, the same character trait of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Toward the end of the book here, 1 Thessalonians. God's writing to Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and the Lord gives him these words, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that sounds to me like that thing's full and complete, does it you? Then look at the next verse. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." The God who called you to salvation is the God that's going to preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. And He does that because He's faithful. He's faithful, firm in adherence to truth, unchanging. And He is truth. He's faithful to Himself. So it really all boils down to this. If you struggle with doubting your salvation, can you trust God to be faithful? If you can trust Him to be faithful to save you, then you can trust Him to be faithful to keep you saved. Because He saved you with a full and complete salvation. And two different places in our Bible tell us that that full and complete salvation is good all the way until we stand before Jesus Christ. Until we see the Lord. Now, I know sometimes, you know, people's problem is not so much with God as it is with themselves. But sometimes it's more with God than they realize. I've told you before the story of G. Campbell Morgan. I believe it was G. Campbell Morgan that gave Billy Sunday 7 messages. I think Billy Sunday started out his ministry under G. Campbell Morgan. And then when he was going to branch out and be his own evangelist, I believe it was G. Campbell Morgan that gave Billy Sunday 7 messages and said, "Here, I won't preach these anymore. You take them and preach them." And from there, of course, Billy Sunday went on to have that great ministry. Well, there's a story about G. Campbell Morgan being in a meeting where D.L. Moody was preaching, and G. Campbell Morgan, Brother Morgan, went to the inquiry room to be dealt with after a particular message that Moody preached. And Moody himself approached Morgan there in the inquiry room and was talking with him. And he asked him what his problem was. And he says, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And so Moody said to interpret his Bible and read to him John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then he asked Brother G. Campbell Morgan, have you believed on Jesus? And Morgan said, yes. And Moody said, do you have everlasting life? And Morgan said, well, I'm not sure. And Moody said, let's read this again. He that believeth on Him hath everlasting life. Have you believed on Jesus? Yes, I have. Do you have everlasting life? Well, sometimes I think, let's read this again. He that believeth on Him hath everlasting life. Have you believed on Jesus? Yes, I have. Do you have everlasting life? Well, I don't know. And then Moody got irritated at him. And the book said that Moody responded with this statement. See here, whom are you doubting? And he had him over a barrel. Because for three questions, he said, have you believed in Jesus? And every time, Morgan answered with a yes. So he didn't doubt the fact that he believed. Who does that leave him to doubt, folks? Leaves him to doubt God. And Morgan said the light came on. And he realized that he had never doubted the fact that he had trusted in Jesus, but for some reason, he doubted whether or not God could keep His promise. Let me tell you tonight, he that believeth on Him hath everlasting life. And God is faithful, and the God that is faithful to save us is the God that's faithful to keep us saved until we see Jesus. So that's a virtue that's wonderful, isn't it? He's faithful to salvation. God is firm in adherence to truth. He is faithful when it comes to salvation. Now, I don't know if you're struggling with it or not. I have no idea. I'm not preaching this tonight because anybody's been in to see me. But I would suggest to you that if you are, you mark those passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you begin to have a little problem, get the Scripture out. Folks, you're not going to fight doubt and everything in life with positive thinking. You know, there's one weapon that is made to defeat the devil. Okay, and a lot of times I think Satan just likes to create doubt just to keep people in chaos. So pull your Bible out and read these. That to me, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I love that word holy. Don't you love that? And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body, that's the trichotomy, that's man, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also, did God call you to salvation? Did you answer His call? Did you respond by trusting His Son? Well, God was faithful to call you, now He's faithful to keep you. He's faithful about our salvation. Now, number two, God is faithful when it comes to temptation. So God's faithful when it comes to salvation. God's faithful when it comes to temptation. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look with me here at a very familiar verse to many of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about the virtues of faithfulness. We're talking about the fact that it's commendable to pursue faithfulness because it's a characteristic of the Godhead. God is faithful. He's called the faithful God. He's faithful concerning salvation. He's faithful when it comes to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Well, actually, you know, in the fore part of the chapter here, we won't take time to read it, but you can kind of peruse it there. Look, just skim it. He tells us that there are stories recorded for us about Israel in the Old Testament. And Paul says that these stories are there for our admonition. Okay, look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So that was for the Corinthian people. That's for me and you. These Old Testament stories, I heard a preacher say one time, you can't really preach a lot out of the Old Testament. I beg to differ. Jesus preached out of the Old Testament a lot. That's all he had to preach out of. And Paul here, he gives us a good verse to tell us that it's a good thing. Now, we're to learn from those stories, and we're not to think, we better not think that we are exempt from the same temptations that the children of Israel faced. That's true about the children of Israel as a whole. That's true about individuals. Hey, men, don't think you're above the temptation that came to David with Bathsheba. Don't think that you're above that. Don't think that you're above the temptation that came to Samson. Don't think that you're above that. Don't think that we're above the temptations that came to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Look at verse 12. Here's why. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to be very careful when it comes to the temptations that come our way, not face them with a haughty spirit, because we could easily fall. The more secure we think we are, the more dangerous it is for us. The more secure we think we are, the more dangerous it is. Now, then to encourage us. So Paul says, be careful. These temptations that came upon the children of Israel, they're written and recorded for you, for your learning, and you better pay attention, because the very same temptations that came to them are going to come to you. You better not think that you're so high and mighty that you don't need this. But then here's something to encourage us in verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now look at this now. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So to encourage us here, Paul tells us that God is faithful when it comes to temptation. Now look, folks, the context of 1 Corinthians 10 makes it clear that this is talking about temptation to sin. All right? Most of the times when the Bible uses the word temptation in the New Testament, it's referring to the temptation of sin. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the devil. He was tempted there. You know that after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was tempted three times. And as we journey through this life as the people of God, we are tempted to sin. We're tempted by the world. We're tempted by our flesh. We're tempted by the devil. In fact, I was thinking about this today. Do you know that temptations can be very strong? In fact, temptations can be threefold strong. The devil uses the world to tempt our flesh. He does that. So all three of them thrown at us with one strong temptation. But here are some truths about temptation that should encourage us. Let me give you a couple of them from this verse, verse 13. First of all, the first truth about temptation is there is no unique temptation. No unique temptation. You see that there at the very beginning of the verse? There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All temptation is common to mankind. Now, I'm not going to be long on this, but I do want to remind you that I think the devil is a genius at making us feel isolated. I think he uses that to discourage us when it comes to trouble and difficulty. And he makes us think, nobody else is having this trouble. You're the only one. I told you, I sat with married couples who were having difficulty and listened to what they say to me, only to be able to say to them, first thing I want to tell you is, you're not alone. And I've seen married couples tear up, get emotionally choked up, because I think the devil has people believing you're the only ones that have these kind of problems. And that's not true. That's not true. So I think the devil's a genius. But wait a minute. I think it's a flip. I think the flip side is true about temptation. He makes us feel isolated when it comes to temptation. Here's what I mean. We have the idea, nobody else has this kind of temptation, so it's all right if I give in. Because it's nobody else faces this. That's not true. There is no unique temptation. Temptation is common to all mankind. Whatever temptation comes to me, whatever temptation comes to you, has come to some other people. And will come to other people. Because there's no temptation that is unique. Temptation is common to mankind. So don't let the devil get you down when trouble and difficulty comes by thinking, nobody else has this trouble. I'm the only sorry Christian here. Don't think that. But don't let the devil use it reverse when temptation comes and, you know, you're looking, you're trying to get away from it, but then you're thinking, and the devil, nobody else really, this is kind of a unique temptation. If everybody was in your situation, they probably would give in too. There is no unique temptation. Temptation is common to all mankind. All mankind, all right? Now, I want you to see, second of all, that God is faithful. The devil is the same being. The world is the same. Our flesh is the same as everybody else's. So there's no temptation that's not common to everybody. Okay, now, number two, God is faithful in temptation. He's faithful in temptation. He will not ever allow us to be in a situation that is too heavy for us to handle the temptation successfully. There will always be a way of escape. Look at what he says. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. This temptation is not unique. Don't think you need to give in to it because you're the only one who's facing it. Don't think that. And I also want you to know that God will never put you, He is faithful, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will never put us in a situation that's too heavy for us to handle it successfully. There will always be a way of escape when it comes to temptation, whatever temptation we face. And by the way, I like the careful wording of that verse in 1 Corinthians 10 because it doesn't contradict with James chapter 1, where the James chapter 1 says that God cannot tempt anybody with evil. And this verse backs that up. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. God not only doesn't tempt us to do evil, folks, He doesn't allow us to be tempted in a way that He knows is too much for us to handle. That's what the Bible teaches. God does not allow us. Now think with me, I'm headed somewhere with this. God does not allow us to get in situations that force us to sin. We'll never be able to point a finger at God and say, "You put me in, you allowed a situation that I couldn't handle." According to Scripture, we can handle it. According to Scripture, there's a way to escape. You may have to run like Joseph, but you can run. You can get away from the temptation. So don't think for a minute that God's ever going to allow you or me to be in a situation that's too heavy for us to handle, where we're forced to sin. Hey, forced to have our fellowship with God broken? No. God doesn't put us in that kind of situation, doesn't allow us to get in that kind of situation. So the question is this, do we want victory over temptation to sin? Do we want it? Because we can have it. And the reason we can have it is because God is faithful. God is faithful to us when it comes to temptation. Help is available, escape is possible, and victory is enjoyable. And if you've ever been tempted and successfully fought it off and won the victory, you know how sweet that is. You know, we had the Pure in Heart meeting on Saturday. And fellas, it's enjoyable when you face a temptation to look longer or dwell on something that is wrong, and through Christ you find the victory to overcome it. There is great satisfaction in overcoming temptation. And we can do that because God is faithful. And that's not true just about, that's true, but just not about lust or evil thoughts. That's true about jealousy. That's true about bitterness. That's true about greed. That's true about gossip. That's true about everything. God doesn't put us or even allow us to get in situations where we can't have the victory because He's the Bible and Paul said, God's faithful to this. Faithful to it. So every temptation I face, I can have victory. You know, and I've said, I've worked with some fellows, young and old here in the church, teenagers and adult men, in the area of this matter of their minds and the difficulty that comes once in a while for a man to keep his heart pure. And you know, you get some programs going and you get some things working, and there's nothing more satisfying for me than 6 or 8 months down the road or 12 months down the road to just get with that brother alone somewhere and say, "Man, how's it going?" and see the joy that radiates from their face because God has given them the victory. That's exciting. And God does that because God's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to us. He's faithful when it comes to temptation. He is faithful when it comes to our salvation. He is faithful when it comes to temptation. So when temptation comes, friend, it's time for me and you to look to God, to call on God, to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, to lift up the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, a lot of trouble will fly when you just start lifting up the name of Jesus. A lot of trouble flies when you sing His praises. A lot of trouble flies away when you plead the blood of Christ over the temptation to gossip, to have an ugly spirit, to be bitter. A lot of that stuff goes away when you start lifting up the name. God is faithful when it comes to temptation. You don't have to be. Now, lastly, God is faithful when it comes to salvation. God is faithful when it comes to temptation. And I'm going to use a Catholic word here, but just for sake of alliteration. God is faithful when it comes to absolution. Isn't that a nice Catholic word? Some of you folks used to go and be absolved of your sins. Okay. Well, what is absolution? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And you know the verse, right? Yeah, the Nazarenes accuse us Baptists. This is our national anthem right here. You Baptist. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we understand that God is faithful to give us a way to escape from temptation. But what person here would like to stand up and give testimony tonight that you find that way every time? That you escape? I won't say that. I'd be afraid God would strike me dead. I came in the house in a huff today. And then after a while, I said to my wife, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I was talking about other things, and I said, and by the way, I'm sorry for how I came in a huff at the house today. She said, you didn't come in a huff. I said, yeah, I came in a huff. She said, well, if that's a huff, that's how you come in all the time. Oh, okay. Let me get that one fixed. Amen. Don't worry about humility. Help us. But I did. I apologized because I didn't find the way out to escape the temptation when I knew I didn't need to be in a huff and I shouldn't be in a huff. And there's a way out of that. And I have used that way sometimes, but I didn't today. So, if we don't find the way to escape and we give in to the temptation, well, now we've sinned. Now, to deny that we give in to temptation, look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We lie to ourselves. We know that we give in to temptation and we sin. And when we do sin, our fellowship with God is broken. Right? But I'm glad God's faithful. And God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. He does not abandon us to a condition of broken fellowship with Him. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't abandon us to a condition of being broken in fellowship with Him when we don't escape the temptation? Even though He's faithful to make a way for us to escape, we don't use it. I told you what would happen if you go down that road, but since you're there, I am faithful to make a way for you to get back. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from our sin when we give into temptation and break fellowship with Him. Have you given into temptation? Have you sinned against God? Now your fellowship with Him is broken. Have you confessed and asked Him to forgive you? Has He? Don't hesitate. Your answer, if you believe that God is faithful, should be yes. Well, I don't know. No. If you confessed it and you asked His forgiveness and you asked Him to be cleansed and forgiven, He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, I just don't feel like I am forgiven. I know sometimes I don't feel that I'm saved. I don't feel. I'm not sure God has really forgiven me. People, we got to quit equating God to me, to ourselves. God is the faithful God. He's faithful to Himself. He said, I've tried to counsel somebody in the last 8 weeks and get them to believe what God says about His forgiveness. He said He's faithful. We meet the conditions of confession. He's faithful. Firm adherence to truth. And the truth states that He will forgive those who come to Him confessing and asking for forgiveness. And you know what confessing is? Confessing is agreeing with God. Agreeing with God about the sin. I ask God to forgive me today. Lord, I should have spoke more kindly and more carefully. There was no reason for me to be in such a huff. That was wrong, and I agree with you that was wrong. That's confessing. Admitting. Coming clean. And then asking Him to forgive and cleanse. People, I'm almost done. God has already forgiven the penalty of our sin. Right? That happened the moment we trusted Jesus because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. He bore our sins in His own body to the tree, and God punished Jesus for our sin on that cross. The penalty of eternal death in hell has been forgiven. That's our position in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? Well, He will also forgive us for choosing to come under the power of sin when we confess it to Him. That's what happens, folks. The temptation comes along and sin has power. And we give in to it. Now, God's got greater power. We don't find the way of escape through the power of God, through the power that's in Jesus Christ. We give into the power of sin. Don't sit and think for a minute that sin's not powerful. Look at the allurement of sin. It's strong. And so we've been forgiven from the penalty of sin. As soon as we trusted Jesus Christ, the penalty of sin was forgiven forever. No more, no threat of ever having to spend 1 millisecond in the lake of fire. So what about the power of sin? Well, when we give in to the power of sin and we break fellowship with God, if we confess it to Him, He forgives us. This involves our condition with Christ. When the fellowship is broken, when we allow sin to reign in our lives, when we yield ourselves as servants of sin. And by the way, folks, that's a mouthful that I don't have time to dissect like probably I should. But that's exactly what happens. We basically kick Jesus off the throne and put sin back on. That's how serious it is. And aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't say, I saved you from sin's penalty already. And now you kick me off the throne of your heart and put this gossip and put this lust and put this bitterness back up there? Okay. Don't worry. No more fellowship with you. He's not like that. When we come to Him contritely and we come to Him sincerely and we say, Dear God, forgive me. It's sin to be bitter. It's sin to be jealous. It's sin to lust. It's sin to speak unnecessarily rough to anybody. And I confess that. I agree with you. And would you please cleanse me and forgive me and restore my fellowship? Jesus Christ is faithful to forgive us from surrendering to the power of sin, kick it off the throne, and take His place in our hearts again. He's faithful. He's faithful. He is just as faithful to forgive us from our sinful condition as He was to forgive us of our sinful position. Are you with me on that statement? Our sinful position was we're children of the devil, lost and on the way to hell. And when we turned to God and asked Him to save us, Jesus forgave us. All that eternal, the eternal penalty of sin was forgiven. And now we are positioned in Christ Jesus. He was faithful to do that. My condition after I get saved, some days I spend in a good condition with God. Some days I don't spend in a good condition with God. But when the Spirit of God brings it to my mind and says, you know what? You broke fellowship with God with this and this and this. Oh God, please forgive me. My condition with you is not good. Please, please forgive me. God is faithful to forgive you. Boy, I'm glad God's faithful. Praise God for His faithfulness. Praise God for His faithfulness when it comes to our salvation, our temptation, and our absolution, our forgiveness of sin. I'll tell you how God looks at it. I've used this little illustration before. I'll close with it. They said a man, I read this story. Now, you read a story, you don't know if it's true or not, if somebody just wrote it. But this man in England bought a Rolls Royce. And he took it on a trip out of the country into France. And the thing broke down. And he got on the phone and he called the people at Rolls Royce and said, I got a problem. My car broke down. And they sent him, they said, don't worry, we'll get somebody to you. They worked it out. They sent a mechanic. The mechanic came. It took quite a bit of time. And he repaired the car. And then he had it up and running. And the guy was back on his vacation on his trip. And he spent some more time out in France. He returned back to England. And he expected to find a pretty significant bill in his mailbox. And so he waited for a few days. There was no bill there in the mail when he got there. And he waited for a few days. I don't know how long he waited. A bill never came. And so he called Rolls Royce. He said, my name is such and such. This is my car. This is the VIN number. And it was broken down in France. And you sent a mechanic to repair it. He repaired it. Went on my trip. And I want to just get this cleared up. Is there a bill? And they put him on hold. And they came back after a few minutes. And they said, sir, we have no record of that car ever having a bit of trouble. You see, they're proud of their vehicles. They don't expect their vehicles to break down. They wouldn't even admit that one of their vehicles had a problem. And folks, I want to tell you something. Whether it's in salvation or whether it's asking for forgiveness after salvation, when you and I go to our faithful God and ask Him to save us, and then later on we ask Him to forgive us, there is no record. And I don't quite understand why some people put themselves under that. The guilt of that. I think it's a deceitful ploy of Satan. We're forgiven. And we're forgiven not because we're good. Just like we're not saved because we're good. We're forgiven because God's faithful to Himself. I'm glad He is. I'm glad I can trust God to be faithful in salvation, faithful in temptation. And you know what? By the way, let's not give in to the power of sin. Let's remember. There's a way to escape. God's faithful to provide it. I don't have to do that. I don't have to think that. I don't have to act like that. No, sir. There's a way out. But you know what? When I don't find that way out and I break fellowship with Him, He remains faithful to forgive me as well. That's the virtue of faithfulness, isn't it? That's wonderful. Let's stand. Thank you for being here tonight. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. These are areas in which You are very faithful to people. Thank You for being faithful in salvation, faithful in temptation, faithful in forgiveness of sin. May we believe it, practice it, not live under, Lord, the guilt trip that the devil loves to put us on, but enjoy these areas in which You are very, very faithful. Help us to, Lord, employ Your faithfulness in time of temptation. Help us to overcome it, to walk away, to run if need be, not to give in to the power of sin, but to find the way of escape, and You're faithful to provide it. And then, Lord, if we need to be forgiven after we're saved, help us to confess and then to rejoice in Your faithfulness to forgive us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us a brief song.